Welcome to the Grace Junkies Jam Session. Grace Junkies Jam Session with the lovely and talented Miss Jill McKeever.
Ow!
Who's a werewolf at this point.
I'm on the jam. I'm jamming.
Jam, man.
The very hot and sexy Faith McFadden.
Hello. Oh,
well, that's not for me to say.
Ew.
The lovely and lustful Charles McKeever.
Hello.
What, darling? Well, go ahead and ask Mommy.
And a castaway.
Go share.
But
well, just share. It'll be good.
And we're back after minor kid catastrophe. Kid catastrophe. Tonight's topic is from Charles McKeever, and he wants to discuss the first time we felt the hand of God on our lives.
Yes. When was the first time that you felt the hand of God really making an impact in your life? For me, it was when I was 8.
Was that a rhetorical question?
Yeah. When you were 8?
I was ready for him to answer.
I know. I was like, are you really asking?
I was going to say something,
okay,
but good, I didn't.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I got something, but this is all about you, man.
For me, it was when I was 8. My grandmother used to take me to, I say I was 8. I don't remember the exact age, to be perfectly honest. But I do, 8-ish somewhere. My grandmother used to take me to a Pentecostal church.
Oh.
And
hallelujah.
Although I didn't get a lot of the hands raised in the air and things like that, I did enjoy sitting in the sanctuary listening to the preacher. I didn't really dig the coloring pages and the cookies and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't go often enough to know who the other kids were, and you know, the families and all that stuff like that. But I knew that when I went to church and I sat in the pews and I listened to the preacher talk about when God talked to us and how he was with us in our life and things like that, that when I went home, I felt energized. I felt like I was where I was supposed to be, you know,
uh-huh.
And that sort of thing. But I also knew that, you know, that I was also aware of the fact that sort of seemed to not stick with me, right? Daily life sort of trickled back in.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that sort of thing. But every time I would go, it would be like a renewing of, mm-hmm. of this feeling. And I was like, man, this is awesome. And I even remember a day going back to her house and taking off my Sunday school clothes because, you know, get all dressed up to go to Sunday school. And remembered, I just stood there in her spare room and just prayed. And I was like, this is awesome, you know, and just talking to God.
Mm-hmm.
And even though later in life I was baptized and those types of things like that, I really think that was the moment for me where I was really inviting God to be a part of my life.
You established a relationship.
Establishing a relationship with him. Now, I don't...
Or he established one with you.
Yeah. Now, like any good radio station where you're interested in the program, the signal got weak. Okay? Got real fuzzy.
For a while.
For a long time. You know, a whole open stretch of road and no signal. But to me, that was the point. That's where the hand was laid.
You felt the hand.
Yeah.
Faith?
Oh. I was all in interested in the story. I heard it before, but I I mean, it was good. Was better the second time.
Do it again.
Let's go for three.
When you brought that up, the only first thing I thought of many times. The first thing I thought of when I was... Am I too loud? Am I okay?
No, you got to go.
Was when I was about 10 and I was visiting my sister in college. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to learn how to play the guitar. And my sister was learning. And so my mom and I had driven to visit her. And so we were in her dorm room. I guess I don't really remember. We must have stayed with her. And my mom said, well, why don't you pray and ask God to get for a guitar? I'm like, oh, okay. That's what I'll do. Oh, so Lord. I prayed and I said,
a Mercedes Benz.
So I said, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a guitar? And he did.
He did? Well, how did he do that?
Well, the very next day, her roommate came and said, you know, I have this guitar that I had from when I was young, and it's like a junior guitar, and I was just wondering if you'd want it. I mean, it's too small for me. I just brought it here because I, you know, part of my stuff, but I got a new guitar, and I don't need it anymore. Would you like it? And I'm like, yeah! I was so excited. It was the first time that I really saw God answer prayer in my life firsthand. I mean, I'd seen things through my parents many, many times. I mean, I'd seen miracles happen. I'd seen things happen secondhand, but that was the first time that I saw God. I mean, immediately answer a prayer in my life at such a young age. That was huge.
Cool.
That was a big deal. So, yeah.
Very, very cool. That, yeah.
How about you, Jill? You got any?
I can remember, if we think about the first time that I really knew... So here's the thing. I was about 8 years old, and my uncle, I can't tell you because I'm 8 years old, but it was probably like the week before or maybe 2 weeks before. My uncle had, we were in church, and my uncle leans over to me and he says, you know, typical Baptist way, I guess. He says, do you know for sure if you died right now, would you go to heaven? And of course, I knew, no, I wouldn't. And so he led me, you know, and we went up and prayed, and I was saved. And, you know, the next week, I was baptized and got all that taken, you know, got all that checked.
Yeah.
And I didn't really feel any different. Okay. And so, but I had had a nightmare. And I'm 8 years old. I've got a little sister, and she's probably about, hello.
Pause.
Okay, so I have a little sister, and she was probably about one, and I had this nightmare. The nightmare is I'm walking down my grandparents' street, and I look over, and there's this two-story house that wasn't really there, and there's this man in the window, and he's throwing rocks at me and my sister, and I'm carrying my infant sister in my arms, and a rock hits her in the head, and she dies. And my dream is that... I know this is gruesome, but my dream is that I look down and I see my infant sister and her head's busted open and she's dead. And I'm carrying my sister to my grandparents' house. And this scared the bejeebus out of me because the man.
Think?
Yeah. And the guy in the window is, in the second story window, is really evil.
Okay.
And so that's the dream. Well, this dream scared me so bad that for 3 days I couldn't sleep. I didn't want to go outside. I don't care if the sun was up. I didn't want to go outside because he was out there somewhere. And somewhere in the back of my mind, my Aunt Deb had told me that whenever you're afraid, you just pray to Jesus and he will help you. So I'm laying there and it's, you know, I don't know if it's the third night or the fourth night, but I know it's been several days. And I'm tired of being afraid because I can't handle the fear that I'm living in. And so, so I pray and, I'm waiting, Lord, I don't want to be afraid anymore. Please help me. You know, I don't want to be scared. And I waited and I'm still scared because I'm checking, you know, I'm checking my nerves and I'm like, no, I'm still scared. So I said, okay, maybe he didn't hear me. Maybe he was busy. He's on the other line. I generally thought he was distracted, like adults usually are.
That's true.
You got to tell an adult two or three times where they'll actually hear what you have to say. So I prayed again, and I said the same thing, and I meant it with all of my heart. And I remember, and, you know, it was just the most awesome thing. I remember laying there with my eyes closed, and I saw the silhouette of Christ with his arms open. And when I saw him in my eyes, I felt the warmth. And I feel, now I say that it's the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what it was then, but I felt a warmth come over me like a blanket being laid atop me. Mm-hmm. And it started at my feet, and it went all the way to my head. And when it went through me, I passed out.
Peace.
It was a peace. That is, I mean, he knows and I know. I have never doubted my salvation. I have never doubted that God is with me. Now, I have problems staying connected sometimes, but I don't doubt that we are connected.
So. That's awesome.
That's good.
Yeah.
My turn? I'm up?
That's all the time we have for
that. That story was second. That's the second time I heard that story, too. And it's better the second time. What is that about?
I don't know.
And then there was when I was nine, and they had this big clown balloon thing in the hall, and
what?
So wait, Charlie. So one time? One time at band camp?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, you can go.
Well, no. I don't have much. I've got a little. It's just a little thing, and that was, and it was when I was little. It was after I was saved. It wasn't long after I was saved, because it was still in my mind. And I don't remember how old I was. I mean, I was saved when I was about seven. So it was sometime fairly soon after that. And I was walking on top of a fence. And I, for the life of me, can't remember. It must have been on the dairy. That's all I can figure out. But I was walking on top of the fence, and I fell. And I caught myself on the fence. Okay? And which was good, because, like, where I looked over to what I was going to fall on, it was a plow.
Ow.
And I should have fell on the plow. And I climbed up, and I climbed off the fence. And I just kind of sat there and looked at that plow and all these little sharp blades and all these little pokety things. And it was like, I wouldn't have survived that. You know, and I was seven and realized that was the end of me, you know.
Wow.
And I sat there and thought, you know, I should have fell on that plow. And the more I thought about it, I was seven. You know, I was a little bitty. But I just remember sitting there for the longest time thinking, I should have fell on that plow. I should be dead. I should have fell on that plow. Mm-hmm. And I went home and, you know, kind of tried to explain to my mom, who was, like you said, busy at the time, and I was alive, so she didn't care. You know, are you hurt? Okay, then I got things to do. And but she made a comment to me, very flippant, like she always does, like it's almost over her shoulder kind of comment, that the Lord will decide when he's ready to take you. Get out of here. You know, you're fine. And it just kind of felt, oh, so it wasn't my stupidity that caused my death. It was, you know, and it just through that, I felt like that the Lord saved me. And then I felt like, well, he saved me for something. He wants me around for something.
Yeah.
And so that was like the first time I felt the hand of God on me. Like, you know, I thought at that time I thought it was a guardian angel or something, you know, but it always comes up to me that, well, you know, he's still got me here for a reason. You know, I'm still hanging around for some reason. Because there's been a lot of times since then I should have died.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stupid things I did since then.
And we're still here.
And I'm still here.
So, So then you wonder, I've often wondered.
What?
When you've accomplished your task. Are you done?
When he's done with me.
When he's done, he's done.
Don't let me stick around further, because I'll screw something up.
Well, you know, Jill, you say you knew your in your story you felt peace, and you had that like that connection with God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you remember a time when you had that connection? Other than like the first time you felt the hand of God on you. I mean, that's a little different. I mean, I'm going past where she felt the hand of God, but she felt that peace and that relationship, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's the same thing, but I don't know. I'm looking at them a little differently.
I knew when I knew when we had that conversation that night on the phone, and I realized I could trust the Bible again. You know, because it was been a long time where it had gone just kind of further and further from my reality that the Bible was trustworthy. And I just remember that conversation. We had a series of arguments, and I never lose arguments. And we had a series of arguments where I lost on abortion. I lost on being gay. I lost on all these things that I had this
you
attitude.
Were gay? Oh, sorry.
I had these attitudes that, you know, that the Bible is not trustworthy, and we just kind of got to figure things out for ourselves and all this kind of stuff. But I lost the argument, and she wasn't arguing from the Bible. She was arguing from logic. And she, like the abortion thing, she argued from an eagle's egg. Like, you know, is it against the law? Should it be against the law to kill an eagle's egg? Well, of course, you know. And I'm like, oops. You know, stubbed my toe on that one. And so it was just a series of arguments that she won. And based on that, you didn't have to hate gay people to think that being gay was a sin. Just like, you know, it was, you know what I'm saying? So there was these series of arguments that I lost. And it was that one night that during that conversation, I realized, hey, I need to take another look at the Bible.
Yeah.
Because it's not what I thought was in it. It's, you know, it's like Charlie says, when you live outside the Bible for so long, you sort of get this concept of what's in the Bible. Oh, I know what's in the Bible.
Yeah, without ever reading it.
Yeah, I know what's in there. I don't need to read that big long boring thing.
It says to love your neighbor.
That's all you really need to get out of it.
Judge not, lest he be judged.
So, after having these arguments with Faith,
I can't believe she wore that.
With my point in saying that I realized I could trust the Bible again was that that was the time I knew that I would never walk away from God again. That I wasn't going to go out on my own again. That this was my going to be my life for the rest of my life. I was trying to have a relationship with Him, and that's it.
Wow.
Well, that's the same, you know, when I, in retrospect now, look back and see that day that we were at Brad's mom and dad's house and he was showing us a picture of our house on Conley Street on the internet and saying, look at this is the house for sale, you should go look at that. And I looked at the house and the Lord said, that's your house. I heard it. I heard it. That's your house. It's going to be your house. And I didn't say anything to anybody at the time. And it became our house. We lived there for, you know, 6 years. I think that was the beginning of that hearing His voice again. It's been a long time since I heard it, but I didn't listen to it. And that was the beginning of actually listening to Him again and becoming intimate with that voice again. You know, like you're talking about, getting to know Him. Yeah. And being able to discern His voice and to hear it. Yeah. You know, just like you hear your spouse. You know your spouse's voice. I mean, I know Brad's voice. I'd know it anywhere.
Sure.
You know, you should know.
But sometimes you choose not to hear it.
Right. That's true.
Well, yeah,
I do.
Our children's cry in the grocery store.
Exactly. Yeah,
you
exactly.
know. You know. Your distinct pitch of your
right.
children. Yeah.
Yeah, I call it my taking my hands off the wheel moment.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, I've been driving this bus for the last 19 years. How's that working out for you? You know, not very well.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take my hands off the wheel and you try for a while. And, you know, it was so funny. The moment I did that, that was a different moment. That wasn't the moment I talked about faith. Mm-hmm. The moment I took my hands off the wheel was the moment I prayed, you know, about my first wife and said, I can't make her happy. I can't do this anymore. I wasn't thinking about a divorce at all. I was just thinking about, Lord, you make her happy. I can't do it. I give up trying in this life. And the next thing that happens is she divorced me, and I lose my job, and I lose my house, and, you know, all these horrible things.
God, like, shook your rug.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
What's going on? Do I need the wheel? I think I need the wheel again. He's like, no, just undo it, everything you did, so I can start over.
And that's exactly right, and that's
rebooting.
Trust. That's that trust.
What?
Rebooting.
I'm rebooting the system.
Rebooting, there you go. From a techie point of view.
I have to reformat your hard drive, sir.
Not techie, but techie.
Techie. It's all relative.
I had a bunch of viruses on my hard drive.
Viruses.
Control alt delete.
Some people call their worse words than that. I just refer to it as the virus that was on the hard drive.
That's funny.
All right. All right. Well, thanks for joining us for this session of Grace Junkies. We have one more coming up. And that topic is going to be Faith's topic, I believe. So tune in for that next time. If you would like to send comments about this or MP3 record your voice and send it to us at bradmc@mylifeministries.org, and I'll release it as a Grace Junkies episode. So tell us about your moment that you felt the Lord's hand on your life. Thanks for joining us, and God bless you.